Welcome to the Education Spotlight with Mike O'Sullivan, CEO of One South Coast Chamber. Presented by Bay Coast Bank, providing exceptional service and solutions for our community. And One South Coast Chamber, right here on FM 95.9, AM 1480 WSAR.
Hi, I'm Mike O'Sullivan, CEO of One South Coast Chamber. We are doing the Education Spotlight, sponsored by Bay Coast Bank. And we are joined today by Dr. Laura Douglas, the president of Bristol Community College. Welcome, Dr. Douglas.
Well, hello, good afternoon, and happy Friday.
It's great to hear from you. I know I just saw you yesterday, but it's great to hear from you, Dr. Douglas, and look forward to hearing all the great things that are happening in the education world, particularly with Bristol Community College. I know you've got a lot of good stuff happening.
Thank you. Yes, and it is just a pleasure to be invited to be on your show.
Well, thank you. So in 2023, Massachusetts launched the Mass Reconnect program. Can you tell us a bit about that program?
Yes, I'd love to. You know, it's amazing. We've done a lot of publicity on Mass Reconnect throughout the Commonwealth, and we've put it out on billboards and in our social media, but I still find that there are many people who don't know about Mass Reconnect. And what it is a free community college program for those who are 25 or older who have yet to earn a college degree. So if you're a resident of Massachusetts, you're 25 and older, maybe you started college and didn't finish, you can come back. Or if you're brand new to college, you can come and learn for free. So that's free tuition and free fees. So your books and your tuition and all the fees are covered as well. So it's a great opportunity. And, you know, we always think about Massachusetts as being a highly educated state, one of the highest rates in the nation. But we have more than 1.8 million adult students who have not completed college. So this is really a great opportunity for those folks. So a little bit more about it, if I may. First of all you need to do is come into the college, apply. There's a very short application. We have it's probably 5 minutes long. And then once you apply to the college and are accepted into the college as well, you need to fill out a financial aid application. That's the federal financial aid application. Actually, you can do the federal financial aid application before you do the application to the college. But those are the two pieces that are really critical. And then we help students enroll and with all the other steps that are necessary.
Well, that really sounds fantastic. And I know, you know, in communities like Fall River, New Bedford, Attleboro, Taunton, where Bristol Community College has your campuses, they're great communities, but they're not communities that have the absolute highest performing, local educational institutions, and there's a gap in Massachusetts. And I think that I think this is a great opportunity for people who want to go to community college. Some of them, they take some time to make the decisions what they really want to do or what they really would like to do, or they make changes. Because as we know, in the COVID world, a lot of people had to change gears with what they wanted to do with their careers and at where they wanted to go to school and how they wanted to go to school. So I think this is a fantastic program in particular.
You're so right. In fact, we do have lower college attainment rates in Bristol County, much lower than, let's say, the Boston area. And sometimes, Mike, people will ask me, well, why do we need this free community college program? Isn't this something that is really unnecessary? Well, the reality is that if we are going to remain competitive from a workforce and an economic perspective, We have to have a highly skilled workforce, and especially in Bristol County, we have a lot of room to boost that ability. And once we have populations that have specific skills, let's say it's offshore wind or healthcare or IT, what happens is that people will, like companies and industries will look at us and say, oh, I want to locate right there in Bristol County because there's a workforce that is skilled and will meet our company's needs. So really for positioning, it's so important for us to be thinking about how do we leverage this in Bristol County? How do we get more people to the table? We are very excited. I have to tell you, I just learned that our enrollment for spring is up 20% over last spring at this time, and we've seen a significant boost in adults 25 and older. And to your point with COVID, we had a lot of folks who just got passed along in kind of one dead-end job after the other, and now they're ready to have a career. And so if any of those listeners out there today are interested in thinking about a career, we'll help with educational advising and help kind of put them in a good direction and help them understand how much money they'll make in that career and what some of the outcomes might be long-term, which is really, I think, helpful for our community.
Laura, what's the average age of a Bristol student?
Average age actually is about 26 or 27. So when we instituted Mass Reconnect in the fall, we had many of our existing students who were able to be converted into a Mass Reconnect and start getting all of their classes paid for free. So, you know, sometimes adults think, well, you know, college, that's for somebody younger. I know that our students of all ages come here and they are immediately surprised at how inclusive our environment is. So if you're 25 and older, don't put off college any longer because you think you won't fit in. You'll see a lot of other people just like you.
And does the Mass Reconnect also apply to online learning?
Yes, it does. So we have online learning, we have in-person learning, and that would then take place at one of four campuses. It could be Fall River, New Bedford, Taunton, or Attleboro. So this applies to all of our locations. You know, about 40%, I should have said this earlier, but about 40% of all of our students are adult students. So, people should feel right at home.
Well, that's terrific, and the online learning part, certainly, while it might be different for someone like me as a learner, it's still very, very helpful and very convenient, which helps because if your average age is 26 to 27, they're working somewhere. So if it makes it a little more convenient to get their degree, that's even just as important.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, you know, a lot of our students, our adult students, are parents. And, you know, they go to work during the day. They have kids. They, you know, have dinner. They help their kids with their homework. They put them to bed. And then it's their adult time to learn. And you also have to know that you just have to have 6 credits minimum. That's 2 college classes. So I think it's quite doable for most adults. Obviously, it's a challenge. But if people are determined, I know that they can do it.
Yeah, that really is sounds like a very terrific program. It really does. Can you tell us a little bit about the Mass Grant Plus expansion that has taken place?
Well, this is brand new. There's just so much excitement going on in higher education in Massachusetts, and I really want to thank our Governor Maura Healey and our Lieutenant Governor and our legislature as well for really looking at what we need to do to be competitive and how to make sure our opportunities are available in higher education to people from all backgrounds. And one of the challenges that we've had in higher education over the last decade or so has been that federal financial aid, also known as Pell, has actually been decreasing. Smaller and smaller amounts, the eligibility has changed, and it has hit some groups quite hard, especially the middle class, believe it or not. We often think that if you're middle class and you've got children going to college, there's going to be some aid here and there. Well, the aid has not been as strong in contrast to the increase in college tuition and fees. And although Bristol Community College has some of the lowest tuition in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, it can still present a challenge, especially if families have multiple kids going to college at the same time. I know I was one of them. I was in college with two of my sisters at the time, and it was really a struggle for my family. And we were eligible for financial aid, luckily. So the Mass Grant Plus program actually expands financial aid for those who are low income as well as middle income families, and it gives more financial aid to cover not just tuition and fees, but books and the other expenses that come with attending college. So if people are thinking, I might now be eligible for more financial aid, we hope that students will come in and complete the FAFSA, the free application for federal financial aid. We do have counselors, and we do allow students to come in and get assistance. We have walk-in hours at the college as well. We really hope that folks will come in and fill out that form to see how much more money they will get. This is in addition to federal financial aid. This is coming from Massachusetts. So really excited about this. And, I should go back to Mass Reconnect, because this connects a little bit, Mike, to Mass Reconnect. When we offered the Mass Reconnect program, we got so many students who came and applied and filled out their financial aid applications, and they had no idea that they were eligible for so much aid. So, again, we have an opportunity for people to come and apply to see how much aid they can really achieve. And it'll pay for college.
That's great. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. This is Mike O'Sullivan with the Education Spotlight, sponsored by Bay Coast Bank.
Welcome back to the Education Spotlight with Mike O'Sullivan, CEO of One South Coast Chamber. Presented by Bay Coast Bank, providing exceptional service and solutions for our community, and One South Coast Chamber.
Welcome back. This is Mike O'Sullivan, and I'm joined by Dr. Laura Douglas from Bristol Community College today. Dr. Douglas, so we were just talking about the FAFSA right before the break. I remember with my three children, they're all adults now, but I remember with my three children and going through the FAFSA process and thinking how much I didn't like it is probably the nice way to put it. It was very difficult, not easy to understand, but it's changed, and you guys seem to have made it a lot easier today.
Yeah, and you know, the federal government is making changes as well. In fact, we're getting there's been a soft launch of a new FAFSA for fall of 2024. The old one is still in existence, but you're right, it really is challenging. And one of the things I always like to say about our financial aid office is that we've gone from not just helping to fill out the FAFSA, but also helping to coach families on how to pay for college. And we've got a lot of opportunities for people to come in and get help. Right now, starting January 8th, we have walk-in advising, people who just come right into the college, one of our four campuses, to get help with the FAFSA and get advising, and also to get help with the, understanding how to pay for college. And we actually have a fun event coming up on February 10th, It's called a FAFSA Bowl party, not the Super Bowl, but the FAFSA Bowl. It's February 10th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. On our Fall River campus, and that's going to be just a big party to help families fill out the FAFSA and to recognize they're not alone and to feel as though they can ask any question in the world, because it is, even for people who have been through it before, it can be extremely challenging. And we even invite people to come in their favorite sports team gear. So I hope to see a lot of Patriots fans there and maybe some Red Sox fans as well. And we're going to be providing pizza and other refreshments. So we're really going to try to make it a party and help people feel really relaxed about applying for financial aid.
That's fantastic. It really is, because as I started this segment by saying, I remember how much I did not like the process, and that's probably understating my feeling about the process. But it was very, very difficult, and to bring coaches and just to try to make it a little bit more fun and just bring people together to be able to talk about how you do it, what's needed, what's required, I think is fantastic. And I know that if we'd have had more help, and I'm going back anywhere 10 to 18 years ago or so, if we'd have had more help and better understanding, I probably would have been able to get more financial aid.
Well, we're all about that, maximizing financial aid.
Yeah, it's extremely important, because it just there's not that many people that have that much discretionary income to just put towards college. So I think the way the folks, the leaders in our government, and the leaders like yourself in the education field, the work that you've done to try to make it more affordable and to help people to be able to understand how to find the money and apply for the grants, and you don't just make the money available, you connect the people to the money, and you connect the people through the processes, you coach them. That to me is, it's just not the way the education system was 20 or 30 years ago. So you all deserve a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, and following the impact of COVID, which hit many of us very hard, and then inflation, our needs have all changed, and it's a little bit harder to rub those pennies together.
Yeah, that's for sure. that's absolutely certain. When you talk about, you talk about financial aid and you and paying for college, but there's also basic needs that kind of go around, that circle around, but maybe people don't really look at directly as a cost of college, that, you have food, housing, transportation, things like that. How do those enter into and impact the student's ability to thrive?
Yeah, I'd say about 5 years ago, these issues were starting to become more familiar to us, as students would talk about their food insecurity, or that they were couch surfing from, friend to friend's houses, or that they didn't have money for bus fare or gas. Also, you certainly needs for wellness, mental health, etc. And we began building what we call our CARE program, and that's to make sure that every student is supported with the needs that they have. And, sometimes we often say a student is just one flat tire away from dropping out. We don't want a flat tire to cause a student to drop out of college. And sometimes things, get a little bit difficult. An unexpected bill, a challenge, a medical issue that is unexpected, that takes some of the costs that are also very high. So what we do is we have a CARE program, and we allow students to work with our basic needs coordinator to help with any type of need that they have. For example, we have many students who suffer from food insecurity. We actually have a locker system on all of our campuses where we have we will deliver fresh food to these lockers and give students a code so that they can access the food they need. It's difficult to ask for food, Mike, and we want to make it as comfortable as possible for those who are in need or have needs of their kids. We often will give emergency grants for those who might not be able to pay their electricity bill or maybe have to fix that flat tire. And one of the things that we also do for our community, not just for students, is we have every month we have our mobile food market. And we do that in collaboration with the Greater Boston Food Bank. That serves all of our campuses, but lately we've had our highest numbers yet. We are serving about 650 families every month. So that's just an example of some of the work that we do. Many of the money that we use for the CARE Fund does not come from tuition and fees. It actually comes mostly from private donations and community contributions, and through our own personal fundraising as well. So I know many people donate to local food banks. If anyone listening wants to make a contribution to our CARE Fund, they can do that at www.bristolcc.edu/donate. And we actually, last semester, the fall semester, we gave out over $100,000 worth of food and care and emergency funds to our students to enable them to stay in school to complete their degree. Sometimes people will say, well, I can't imagine people can't make it through. I did when I was in college. Well, things have really changed for many. And imagine you're a nursing student, right? We need nurses. And you're at the very end of your nursing education at Bristol Community College. And the month before you're ready to graduate, you're evicted from your apartment. And what are you going to do? Say, okay, I've got somebody to support. I have children. Do I drop out of school and get a job to do that and blow away an entire education, an entire degree in nursing? Or is it best for someone to have a small amount of money to tide them over, maybe help them find a new place to live, and keep them in school so that they can graduate and then go out and be a great nurse and provide for their family? So that's the philosophy behind what we do. And so I hope your listeners understand why this is so important today.
Well, if they didn't at the beginning of this conversation, I think they have a much better feel for it today, because you gave a super explanation, and it really... You know, to let somebody get, you know, to cite your example, let somebody get maybe a month away from getting their degree, and then there's a life-changing event that can be helped. We need to find ways to do that, and I think it's great that you're doing that. But I also think it's important that folks understand that it's not that the funding for it is not tuition based. I think that's great, and we're going to take another break. I'm Mike O'Sullivan, joined by Dr. Douglas from Bristol Community College, and we'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Education Spotlight with Mike O'Sullivan, CEO of One South Coast Chamber. Presented by Bay Coast Bank, providing exceptional service and solutions for our community, and One South Coast Chamber.
Hi, I'm Mike O'Sullivan, and I'm joined by Dr. Laura Douglas of Bristol Community College today on the Education Spotlight. And Dr. Douglas, so we've had some great conversations so far. I'm curious, how can the college support learners of it sounds like, any age?
Well, you know, it's really our honor to meet the needs of all of our students at Bristol Community College. And our faculty and staff do an amazing job of providing support. And not only is that support informal at times, maybe the relationship between a faculty member and their student, but it's also quite formal in many ways. And I'd love to share a little bit about some of the special services that we provide. First of all, we have what we call the Library Learning Commons. And yes, we have a library or libraries at all of our campuses, but we also have Learning Commons as part of our library. And that's where we have tutoring, and we have a writing center, and we can help students with all of their needs. So if you're struggling in math or struggling, you know, to write that paper for your English composition class, you can come into the Writing Center. You can come in every day. You can come in once a week. But we have wonderful tutors who are ready to help students be successful. So that's one of the areas that a lot of students take advantage of. And actually, it's interesting, many of our best students, those with the highest grades, actually use the Library Learning Commons. It's not unusual for students who don't need help to be there as well. There's no stigma attached. Another really important service that we provide is through our Office of Disability Services. You know, today more and more students are being diagnosed with learning disabilities and come with a variety of great abilities, but we want to make sure that the students know the difference between services or accommodations that we give in college that are going to be different from the way they were in K-12. We'd have no such thing as an IEP. We actually have to collect documentation of a learning disability. And then what we do is we work through recommendations to help a student be successful in class and to develop very appropriate academic approaches. So not only will they be successful in their classes, but they'll be successful after they graduate from college in their work. So, for example, if a student has a learning disability, one of the accommodations might be to allow them to have more time on tests. That kind of thing. And our students have access to these special coaches, which is really wonderful, and it really enables so many to be successful. So another one I'd love to mention is our Joseph A. Marshall Veterans Center. When we were on commercial break, I noticed that the Joseph Marshall's, Joe Marshall's business of financial services was being discussed. And Joe Marshall is an alumnus of Bristol Community College, and he is also the namesake for our Veterans Center, helping our veteran students who have a difficult time, believe it or not, understanding all the benefits that come to them. And so we really help them understand, but also teach them leadership skills. Right now, we have a big team of student veterans who are in New Orleans as part of a special conference for student veterans, and the director of our Veterans Center, Denny Cosmo, was just named the chapter advisor of the year, which translates to being the best Veterans Center advisor in the entire nation. And we're just so proud of the way we serve veterans. I don't know if your listeners know or not, but Bristol County has the highest concentration of veterans in all of Massachusetts. And so it's really important that our veterans are rewarded with the benefits that they deserve. And college is one of those things. So, yeah, just a great opportunity.
You know, it's I heard Joe Marshall's company being mentioned as well. Joe is obviously a great veteran. The work that he and Jack Sprague did for the Vietnam Veterans Memorial is just fantastic. Mm-hmm. So we're very proud of the work that they did and very proud of the fact that they were successful in bringing that to Fall River. And Denny Cosmo was just terrific. And Denny and I have met a few times and had a few conversations. We're trying to figure out the best way for the Chamber and the Veterans Center and at Bristol to collaborate. What's the best way for us to work to get help vets get jobs, connect businesses to the veterans, and vice versa. Because it's important, you know. The veterans come with great skill set. They're generally a little bit older, very employable folks, and we just have to figure that out, and I'm sure we will. But Denny's a pleasure to work with, and that's really exciting news. I had not heard about Denny winning that award. That's a tremendous honor for him. It's a tremendous honor for the college. And I know you and I have talked about Denny once or twice before, and I know you think the world of him. So
yeah. Well, it's hot off the press, and we're so excited that he's being recognized for all he does for our student veterans. I know they're all celebrating right now in New Orleans.
That's a great place to celebrate, I'm told. I've never been there, but I'm told it's a great place to celebrate. So tell us also... tell us about your student health center and your multicultural student center and how those fit into the mix.
Yeah, so we have other support services too. We do have a student health center, and that's always important for students. Some students have immunization requirements. If you're in health sciences, if you're a full-time student, you have to have certain things in place. We also have a wellness center for mental health counseling, which is very important. College is not always easy, and life is not always easy. So whether it's personal or related to school, we help our students with those matters. And we also have a wonderful multicultural center. It's a center that welcomes students from all backgrounds and cultures, identities, abilities, orientations. We have a center where students can drop in. It's inclusive. It's judgment-free. We have virtual events, but it's really meant to be a place where students connect. But on top of that, the center also helps us grapple with lots of different things that are going on in the community. We provide a number of social justice forums where we talk about pertinent issues and the various things that students are dealing with that are related to multiculturalism. And that has provided a lot of support, well, not just for students, but also with faculty and staff taking on some of those challenging issues. And I think as a college, it's really important in these times, especially, we all read about it in the newspaper, that we provide opportunities for dialogue and for every voice to be heard. And that's something that I'm tremendously proud of here at Bristol Community College. We have a couple of other centers as well that I think we should mention. We have a Luso Centro, which really meets the needs of our Portuguese-speaking community and promotes the culture and heritage of our community members. And also we have a Holocaust and Genocide Center, and we have some great programming that's coming up this spring that actually connects the Luso Centro and the Holocaust and Genocide Center, talking about genocide that's taking place in Africa, in the Portuguese-speaking countries in Africa. So we always invite our community to attend these events.
Well, that's a lot. That's a lot happening. It's all good stuff that's happening. So, I know you've got a program it's called the Advanced Parenting Pathway, and this is something that I don't think I was aware of at all was happening. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
So we also have a women's center. The women's center started about 5.5 years ago to support women and men, especially those who are raising children. And one of the things that we did is we went after an important grant, one of three in the nation, to support our students who are single parents. And need some help balancing not just their education, but also helping them raise their children. And it's a case management approach. The students get financial planning, career planning, counseling. We connect them with the various wraparound services that they might need, such as academic support or maybe even help with basic needs. And then what we also do is we're able to pay them stipends for attending seminars and workshops to become, you know, the parent that they want to become. And so this initiative focuses primarily on students that are BIPOC, the Black, Indigenous, people of color, those who are low income, and then single parent heads of households. So it's really open to all single parents there. So lots of different things that we do to support our students who are single parents. Many college students today, not just at community colleges, but at four-year institutions as well, are parents. And if we're not supporting them in that very important role, then again, we're not supporting them in the classroom. So this is one of the special things that we do at Bristol.
There's a lot of special things that you do at Bristol. So what are some of the in-demand academic programs offered by the college?
Yeah, you know, people ask me that all the time, Mike. And, you know, we have a lot of needs here in Bristol County right now. And people are looking for workers that have the right skill set. So when we often pair our programs to the the workforce blueprints that are determined for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. And one of the areas that is in most high demand is health services and STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. You know, we used to have pretty long wait lists for nursing, dental hygiene, medical assistant, clinical laboratory science. In the pandemic, a lot of those long lists started to get smaller and smaller, and I know that some students that might be, or prospective students that might be listening might say, "Ooh, I'd like to be a dental hygienist or a nurse," and they're thinking, but I just don't have time to wait for the wait list. It's actually gotten very short, so it's a good time to think about health sciences, that because those wait lists have diminished. We also have occupational therapy. I forgot to mention that. That's out of our New Bedford program. It's an occupational therapy assistant program. CNA, Certified Nursing Assistant, is huge in this area. And actually, for the last couple of years, Bristol Community College has been providing this training to community members for free. Yes, that is for free. So if you are interested in becoming a CNA, all you listeners out there, please contact Bristol Community College. Just Google us, Bristol Community College, CNA, and the information will come up. Another area of high demand is human services and criminal justice. The social services are in high need. Also, we have a lot of need in the culinary space, and we have a wonderful culinary program. But we've got new restaurants popping up all the time, and there's a high demand for skilled chefs. So we put out some of the best there. And we also have a great theater program. A lot of people don't know that. We work in conjunction with UMass Dartmouth in our theater program, and it's a great creative space and has really gained a lot of traction. And our students are actually going to Scotland this summer to participate in the Fringe Festival, an originally designed play. So lots of great creativity coming out of our theater program.
That's excellent. That's excellent. So how can our listeners support Bristol's students?
Well, I think that, you know, we get a lot of interest in supporting our students through scholarships and through our CARE Fund, and we really appreciate the support that we get from our community. We have such a great reputation, and we just love our donors. They have afforded so many opportunities for our students. In fact, I am so pleased to announce that 68% of all students who graduate from Bristol Community College graduate with zero debt. Zero debt. So that means they're using their federal financial aid, they're using Massachusetts financial aid, and they're getting scholarships from our wonderful donors who are individual donors, corporate donors, foundation donors, just so many folks. So if people are interested in giving to Bristol, they can make a gift, a general gift to the Bristol Fund. If you're interested in setting up a scholarship, maybe you have a loved one who is an alum of Bristol Community College, you can name a scholarship for a loved one. We have a number of student scholarships that people can add money to. We have special scholarships for programs. So if you wanted to give to our nursing program, you could, or any other program. And then we also have people who are looking for planned gifts to establish a legacy, you know, including Bristol Community College in their will. And that's another way that people help us here at Bristol Community College. So if people are interested, they can contact our development office or just go to www.bristolcc.edu/donate. And we would be happy to talk to folks about gifts and specific goals that, a donor may have to support. It's these gifts from donors that really do make a difference and allow us to do the special programming like having a Luso Centro or a Holocaust and Genocide Center or a Women's Center. These are all based on gifts from our community.
Okay, we're going to take another break and we'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Education Spotlight with Mike O'Sullivan, CEO of One South Coast Chamber. Presented by Bay Coast Bank, providing exceptional service and solutions for our community. And One South Coast Chamber.
Hi, this is Mike O'Sullivan, and I'm joined by Dr. Laura Douglas from Bristol Community College. And Dr. Douglas, so I understand you've got a few events coming up over the next couple weeks at the college.
Yes, we do. We had mentioned the FAFSA Bowl event coming up on February 8th, but before that, we've got two really great events I'd love to share with you. First of all, this Saturday, January 6th, from 9 to noon on our Fall River campus, we are having a Bristol College Day, and that's just a time to come and get help with admissions, applications, financial aid, all that great stuff. So it's a fun event, and usually we've got refreshments and just a big bunch of staff to help everybody and kind of push people through that are needing help getting ready for the spring term, which starts on January 16th. So we really want to have this final push on Saturday, so we hope folks will come out between 9 and noon to our Fall River campus. Then the following week, on Monday the 15th, we are hosting our annual Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Community Breakfast. It's going to start at 8:30 in the morning at our Fall River campus, G Building, which is our Commonwealth College Center, and it is open to everyone, and it is free. We start with a breakfast buffet, and then we have a keynote presentation and some entertainment, and then at 10:30 we transition into workshops and activities. And this year, our 24th annual Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Community Breakfast, we are featuring Yolanda Dennis, who is the inaugural director of Equity, Diversity, Inclusion, and Family Engagement at Greater New Bedford Regional Vocational Technical High School. So great to have her. She actually was at Massasoit Community College in a diversity role, and she's doing great things in New Bedford. So we hope that folks will come and listen to Yolanda and hear about the great work that we're doing in the greater New Bedford and Bristol County communities. So two great events this Saturday, and then on the 15th of January. So I hope we'll see many members of the community. All events are free.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Douglas. And, you know, I can't tell you enough how many people I run into that have gotten their degrees at Bristol that have such a positive impact on our local economy. It really is important. And while we don't have much time, I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about the fantastic National Offshore Wind Institute. But we only have about a minute, so.
Yes, the NAWI. Yes, so we are now certified to offer a number of training programs at our new National Offshore Wind Institute in New Bedford, which is on Herman Melville Avenue. We are offering basic safety training and a number of other trainings, first aid. We're also doing helicopter underwater emergency rescue trainings. Coming up soon, we'll be ready to do that with a large tank and a simulation of a helicopter that gets twirled around and dunked and in a big tank, and you have to learn how to successfully escape should you be going out to a wind turbine in a helicopter. But this is really great to support the work that's being done right now. It's an exciting time. Vineyard Wind just got its first turbine up and running, so we're here to support the industry, and that's about it.
Well, I think it's fantastic. I've seen it. It's a terrific facility. And thank you very much for being our guest today.
Thank you, Mike. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye.